Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our friend. Amen. This is the third Sunday of Advent, and there are 11 days remaining to do whatever it is we plan to do in order to be ready for Christmas. Ready. My good friend Brad, who is also Elijah's godfather, always reminds me, and like I know this, but he reminds me that the Christmas season is 12 days long. Christmas is not just one day, it's 12 days. And that not everything must be done before Christmas. We can do Christmas things during the 12 days. Still, somehow, I always hope to have the Christmas preparation done in advance. Like some of our Christmas traditions include decorating a gingerbread house, which we're going to do this afternoon, yeah, with our friend Peggy. And we like to make a trip to the island of Alameda to see, there's a whole neighborhood that's decorated for Christmas. They call it Christmas Tree Lane. It's wonderful. These and other traditions are things I always hope to get done before the big day, and I always hope that doing these things, these traditions, will, you know, draw us closer as a family, make Christmas special. I hope. Advent is surely about hope, and not only the hope to get a lot done, but a higher and a holier hope, a hope of return to our true home, as the Israelites in the book of Isaiah hoped, the hope for healing, the hope for love and community, the hope of things finally being as they should be. Do you feel that yearning, that hope? Yeah, we all do. For Christians, these days of Advent are blessed days. They are filled with expectation, and our expectation looks backward and forward. These are days filled with hope. We look for the one to come, the one who will save us. We watch and wait and hope for God's arrival. We look, we watch, we wait, we hope, and lo and behold, God comes. According to Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and told them to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus answered John's disciples, "Go, tell John what you hear, what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." This is an insert into the sermon. I always have to stop and smile at that last part. Who would take offense at healing and at the poor having good news proclaimed to them? Who would take offense at the poor having good news proclaimed to them? Who would? The rich, yeah, those with power. Okay, that's what Jesus is talking about. And blessed are those who take no offense when he proclaims that good news. Okay, back to the sermon. John, who probably knew that his chances of making it out of Herod's prison alive were slim, he needed to know if he had given his life for the right thing, the true thing. He had proclaimed that the Messiah was coming and that Jesus was it. And now he asked for proof. He hoped with all of Israel's hope that it was so, that Jesus was the one. And what Jesus said was, "Well, look, listen, what do you see happening?" In the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." And Jesus invited John to see that the hopes of the poor, the sick, and the dispossessed were being fulfilled, to see it. "Behold, lo, see the signs. The kingdom of God is arriving. It's always arriving. Let me tell you two stories. Okay, so the first one takes us back to the pandemic, so you have to remember now, a few years ago. When the pandemic began in March of 2020, so it's a while ago, I remember how we all thought that we would be sheltering in place for a few months, right? And so that's when we all went out to the grocery stores and bought a lot of toilet paper and like canned beans and stuff. We were gonna supply our bunkers for 2 or 3 months, you know, then we'd be okay. We're gonna outlast the virus. So April, May, June, and by the summer of 2020, we knew that it wasn't gonna be over soon. Like the wind was not going to blow it away. We started shifting our thinking into the long haul, when we would say, someday, when the pandemic is over, because we didn't know when, and we made ourselves accept that this was just the new normal. June, July, August, September, October, November, and then, after almost a year of fear and absolute isolation, remember those first months you didn't go out of your house, knowing, because we knew that catching COVID meant serious illness, probably death, in December of 2020, lo and behold, the vaccines started shipping. I mean, it actually was happening. At the time, I could hardly believe it. I had worked so hard to adjust to sheltering in place that the good news was surreal. Of course, it took a while to manufacture and to ship and distribute to millions of people all the vaccines. But there, in Advent of 2020, was light. And literally the promise of life, literally, at the end of that long, dark tunnel. So this is Advent, beloved. We wait, and we wait, and we wait, and, well, we get used to waiting. Waiting for a good thing becomes our normal. But then, sometimes quietly, sometimes like thunder, the expected thing starts to roll. It's shipped out, packed in dry ice. A child is born. Holy Spirit settles in, and just when we were getting comfortable with waiting, here's the second story. So Elijah, who's right there, who is now 6 3/4, thank you very much, has always loved trucks. I think probably all your children and grandchildren love trucks. He's no exception. So Tuesday is trash day in our neighborhood. And every Tuesday morning, 3 garbage and recycling trucks go rumbling down our street. And when Elijah was still a baby, he would hear that rumbling sound, and he would say, because he didn't talk, And I would pick him up, and we would race through the house and out to the front door to see the garbage truck go down our street. And the green bin truck driver would recognize us and always wave to us, which was very nice. One Wednesday is not trash day. Tuesday is trash day. One Wednesday, Elijah heard a truck and wanted to run out the front door to see it, but I told him, no, that truck isn't gonna go down our street. It's going somewhere else. We just heard the noise. But he wanted to go out to the porch anyway, so we did. So we stood on the porch, we admired the Christmas lights, and he tasted the plants that were in the pots, the poinsettias, nah, not very tasty. And some time went by, and then, lo and behold, a garbage truck on our street. It wasn't one of the trucks that picks up our bins. It was a totally different truck there to empty dumpsters in an apartment building down the block. But a truck is a truck. So we watched until it drove away. Elijah didn't know it wasn't trash day, and he waited in anticipation, and a truck showed up just like that. His faithful waiting and expectation, his hopefulness was rewarded. Sometimes this season is hard. Or maybe we should say there are things about this season that are hard. During the pandemic, we missed seeing family and friends in person, the parties, the get-togethers. I am
so very grateful for vaccines and boosters, and that the isolation is over, and that for a while now we've been able to gather in person. Here's another insertion into the sermon. Y'all are still doing this. And actually, you're not doing this. You're kind of shooting your blessings at each other. You're like this. If you would like to shake hands at this point, you may. You can keep on doing this, but, you know, it's okay now if you shake hands, right? Because we're beyond that. It's your choice. The other things can be hard during Advent. While we wait for Christmas, for those who have suffered losses this year or in the last few years of a spouse or a parent or anyone close to us, this time of year reminds us that we miss them and we wish they were here. And some of you miss your former pastor very much. And work can be hard and relationships can be stressful. There is never enough time. Parents are tired. Can I get an amen? Parents are tired. Oh. Lots of things can make it a struggle to find joy or to find Jesus or to find cheer in this holy time. So to you and to all of us, I just want to say, hang in there and hold on and keep looking. Look down the street for the garbage truck. What do you see? Holy Spirit has a way of showing up. On occasion, not all the time, but on occasion, I teach at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, and sometimes the classes are online and instead of in person, and in an online class, then, of course, I post their assignments, and I give them questions to answer, and usually these questions are about what we're reading, the assigned reading, and what we're doing, and they are theology and ministry related, and once I asked an online class to write about the stumbling blocks that keep people away from church. And I ask them that at the beginning of the week. And then at the end of the week, I ask them to write about why, nevertheless, despite the stumbling blocks, why they stay. Why do they stay? Why, nevertheless, they believe. The responses of these future pastors and leaders of the church were beautiful. And they spoke almost to a person of a love that would not let them go. And now you hear the hymn, "O love that will not let me go." Of an encounter with divine love that was so compelling that they stayed. They spoke of Jesus' passion for justice, of how he modeled his life of service like no other that they knew. And one student quoted Peter's words to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And I found myself deeply moved by their testimonies, and it strengthened my own faith. It was an unexpected gift, and it was a coming of Christ to me. So here is one more story. One of those students was ordained yesterday. She's now Pastor Samantha Ledoux. I did go to the ordination. It was glorious. And a colleague of mine, she and her wife have just, well, they're both pastors. Anyway, they're both colleagues. They have just adopted a baby. And it's a little baby, just a little baby. And they brought the baby. So I got to see the baby, and they were feeding her, the little girl. And, you know, she's only like this big. And it reminded me of babies. And I remembered how babies do this. When they want to eat, they open their mouths, right? And they go, ah, 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 ah. And they root around, you know, looking for a nipple. And I thought, oh, that's Advent. That's Advent. You open your mouth. Ah, mm, mm, ah, ah, ah. You're looking for somebody to put what you need into your mouth. You have confidence that it will come. And it does. Christ comes to us. Holy Spirit comes to us. I pray that Holy Spirit will show up and wrap you in loving arms and hold you. And to you and to all of us, I say there is good news in the world. 4 years ago, right before Christmas, the vaccine started shipping and garbage trucks showed up on a non-trash pickup day to the delight of a baby boy, and seminary students remind us that we are held by a love that will not let us go. It's
not about you letting go. It's that God won't let go. God will not let go. So now Jesus the Christ is arriving. Not packed in dry ice. Not as a truck picking up bins or as a student. But in a young woman's womb and later on a bed of hay. And Christ also comes to us as a feeling and as a knowledge and as an assurance and as a presence. May Christ come to you. May you feel it. May you feel and be moved by the holiness of these days. As you wait faithfully and with expectation, looking for the signs of the kingdom coming, may your hope be rewarded, and may God come to you. Amen.